Australian slang, it can be tricky for the untrained ear. You might think non-English speakers would have a hard time making sense of it, but apparently that's not the case. This is according to some new research from the ANU. The ANU asked migrants to name eskies, lollies and thongs, and the results were that those from non-English speaking countries adopted Australian slang faster than migrants who speak English as their first language. Dr. Xenia Ganeshkova led this research. She's a lecturer in linguistics at the ANU. Xenia, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
So tell me what your findings show in terms of why migrants who moved to Australia from non-English speaking countries were adopting these Australianisms almost at the same rate as native Australians. Why would that be?
So I'll tell you a little bit more about the experiment so that you sort of have the background of what was going on. Mm-hmm. With my colleagues, Anita Sakai from Macquarie University in Sydney and Sandra Jensen at the University of Paderborn in Germany, we wanted to look at how people from different backgrounds acquire a second dialect. So we compared four groups of participants. We had native speakers of Australian English, so people who were born and brought up in Australia. We compared them to native speakers of American English who moved to Australia to see how they're acquiring the second dialect of Australian English. And we compared these two groups of first language speakers of English to two groups of second language speakers of English. They were first language speakers of Russian, and one group moved straight from Russia to Australia. So mm-hmm. Australian English was the first English variety that they used in real life, so to say. And the second group of Russians moved to the US first and acquired American English first, and then moved to Australia and acquired Australian English as their second dialect. So comparing these four groups allowed us to look at compare first dialect and second dialect and first language and second language. And we found that second language speakers did use Australian English vocabulary more. So we showed them pictures of everyday items, like you said, the picture of an esky, which you would call a cooler in American English, or lollies versus candy, and thongs versus flip-flops. And we found that Australian English speakers, who were our baseline, our control group, they used Australian items at about 80%. 80% of the time, and the American speakers used Australian items at only 20% of the time. So they still stuck to their American English vocabulary. Mm-hmm. The two Russian-speaking groups were the interesting ones because the group that moved from Russia straight to Australia used Australian items at the same rate as the native Australian speakers. So they were really acquiring the Australian English vocabulary. The second group of Russians, the one that moved from Russia to the US to Australia, used Australian items at about 50% of the time. So they fell between the American group and the second Russian group and the Australian English group.
I suppose it makes sense in a way. I mean, if you've come from a non-English speaking country, you don't have to give up. If you're speaking English, you don't have to give up your own words. It's just, you know, if you grew up saying cooler or chili bin, you find it harder to switch to esky. But if you've grown up with a non-English word for that, then the English word you learn is the only one.
That's right. There could be several explanations for this finding. One of them is cognitive. So you could say it's a matter of exposure. Take the American English group, for example. They've been using American English for 30, 40 years, and then they come to Australia, and then they only have exposure to Australian English for a couple of years. So, of course, the relative exposure is in favor of the American English items, whereas for the Russian speakers, they've either only had exposure to Australian items or had exposure to American English items for 10 years and then Australian English items, vocabulary items for about 10 years. So the relative exposure is different.
Is there something about identity too for the other group, the group of English speakers who come here from another country, that the notion of, you know, calling lollies candy would almost seem like a betrayal, if you like, of your heritage?
That's correct. So this is what we call the social explanation. For Americans, using Australian items could be a sort of betrayal of their American identity. It may seem unnatural. And in their interviews with us, they said exactly that. They know the Australian English words, but it feels unnatural for them to say them. Whereas for the second language speakers of English, there is no this emotional connection.
Yeah.
And it's all about communication and being understood, and perhaps the desire to fit into the new culture where they've arrived.
That's interesting. I mean, why is it important, this study? Does it give us any clues about assimilating?
Absolutely. So it's very interesting. It shows us that second language speakers may be more, their vocabularies, their language may be more malleable. So they may be more adaptable in their use of language when moving from one country to another, or from one linguistic variety to another.
Though I suppose it can't be a measure of assimilation. I mean, there's nothing from this, if you extrapolate from this, to suggest that English speakers coming from another country to here are assimilating more slowly, is there?
This is only one approach to look at it. It's only showing their acquisition of Australian vocabulary, which could be a proxy to assimilation. But of course, we're talking about two very different situations: native speakers of English and non-native speakers of English. So we can only look at how they acquire Australian vocabulary and Australian slang.
And Ksenia, just finally, as we live in a more globalised world, as our population is more and more multicultural every day, is Australian slang fading out? Is it becoming less ubiquitous?
That's a good question. I think, if anything, through all of the connections that we're making, the global connections, we're seeing more and more diversity, media and global travel and communication. I think this is only contributing to the development of the English language on the global scale.
Yeah, I think we're getting more homogenous, perhaps. Ksenia Ganeshkova, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Dr. Ksenia Ganeshkova is a lecturer in linguistics at the ANU. You're listening to RM Breakfast. It's 6 minutes to 9.